be praying for them. It reminds me of the bulletin blooper I saw years ago that said, God, please be with those who are sick of this church. But in all seriousness, we want to remember our brothers and sisters who are suffering right now. Seasons change and colds come and it's things are difficult. So remember them in prayer. A few weeks ago, we started a sermon series on wisdom from the book of Proverbs, and we've been looking at Proverbs, and we've talked about being wise in our fear of the Lord. We also talked about being wise in the use of our tongues. Are you wise? What is wisdom? Of course, my favorite definition or explanation of wisdom is, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing it does not belong in a fruit salad. The idea there is wisdom is application of the knowledge that we have. What does God's Word say about wisdom? You know, being wise in the ways of God helps us live lives that can be more peaceful, more fulfilling, and lives that are more pleasing to God. And today, we're going to talk about the wisdom to avoid the things God hates. A man was driving down a country road, and off to the side of the road, he saw an old dilapidated barn. And on the side of the barn were painted the words, I love you, Kathy. You ever seen anything like that? Well, as the man drove, he smiled, thinking about just the beauty of those simple words. A few weeks later, the man was driving down the same stretch of road, and he was looking forward to seeing those words again. And as he looked to the side, not only was that message gone, but the barn had been demolished. But on a road sign nearby, there was painted, I still love you, Kathy. Whether this man was talking about his girlfriend or wife, the simple declaration of love said it all. God's Word, the Bible, it's the declaration of God's love for us. The message is repeated many times in Scripture that God loves us, that God cares for us. And it tells us all we need to know about God's affection, His unconditional affection for us. The doors are open and it appears somebody has tried to get in. I think it might be locked. Sorry. I can see that, but I'm the only one who can. I had to interrupt myself there. But the Bible is God's declaration of love for us. We read in 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us about how God cares about us. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. And of course, one of the most repeated scriptures, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not just Christians, not just people who have it all together, apparently, not just people who think they have all the answers. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. During His ministry on earth, Jesus told a story, a parable, that helped explain how God loves us. And we're very familiar with this story. It's about a young man who goes to his father and says, Dad, I don't care that you're still alive. Go ahead and give me what I'm due once you're dead. Give me my part of the inheritance now. I want that. I want to get out of here. And the father does so, and the boy, without even saying, I love you, Dad, thanks, he leaves. And he goes out into the world and he lives it up. And we're told he lives in all kinds of wild living and squanders his wealth. You know, as long as he had money, I'm sure he had a lot of people around him and I'm sure things were good. But once the money was gone, the friends would leave. And we read about him finding himself in a bad spot. Famine came upon the land. This boy had to find a job. The only job he could find was working for a pig farmer, which is one of the lowliest jobs you could imagine. At one point, he's so hungry, we're told he longs to fill his stomach with the slop the pigs were eating. And it's at this point he realizes what a mistake he's made. And it occurs to him that even his dad's hired servants were eating better than he was. So he came up with a plan, right? And this plan is, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell Dad, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you, I'm not worthy to be your son, just make me like one of your hired servants. Now the Pharisees to whom Jesus was telling this story, they were with him so far because they had heard a similar story. But in the Pharisaical story, when the son comes back and tells the father, I'm not worthy to be your son, make me a servant, the dad agreed. And he said, you're not worthy to be called my son. You can work as a servant for a few years till you prove your repentance, and then maybe I'll make you my son again. But that wasn't the way Jesus' story ended, was it? That wasn't the story he told in Luke. In Jesus' story, we read that while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him, and he said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, the best, and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And we read that they began to celebrate. That is your God. That is my God. That's the God of Scripture. That is the God that Jesus came to tell us about. The love and the compassion that God has. A God who cares for us. But then we read other passages in Scripture about a God who hates. Hate is defined as intense or passionate dislike for something or someone. David read for us Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that hurry to run to evil, a lying witness who testifies falsely, and one who sows discord in a family. We read about a God who hates all kinds of things. How do I reconcile a loving God with a God who hates things? How could a God of love also be a God of hate? Well, here's the deal. God hates evil. Amen? God hates evil. And he hates when people practice evil. Proverbs 3:32 declares, the Lord detests a perverse man. Psalm 5:5, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. And Psalm 11:5 tells us, the Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. And you may recall Jesus, a time or two, was not always keen on some people. You remember the Pharisees in Matthew 23:27, we talked about this in David's class this morning. Jesus says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. Those are hateful words from Jesus to a hateful group of people. And Scripture plainly states God hates the perverse, all who do wrong, the wicked, those who love violence. But why? Why? Because these people do evil things. Their eyes are haughty, Proverbs says. They're proud and arrogant people. They look down on people that they don't agree with, or people who might get in their way, or people that look different. They have lying tongues. They deceive people and try to take advantage of them. Their hands shed innocent blood. Life means nothing to these people. They're folks that stay up all night just planning evil. Their feet are quick to rush to evil. They can't wait, in other words, to do bad things, to hurt others, and maybe even take joy in doing it. False witnesses who lie and gossip and say mean and hurtful things to drag other people down. And they stir up dissension among others. Y'all ever see dissension stirred among others? Instead of dissension, let's Americanize 2018 the word and call it drama. We see drama. We got some high school teachers. You guys see drama, right? We see drama at work. We see drama at school. We see drama on Facebook. People that deliberately stir up things between people and can sit back and watch it all fall down around them. It's almost like their cable subscription has ended and they can't watch their soap operas, so they create one. Ever worked at a place like that? I have. If we're not careful, church, we can fall into this same trap, because this kind of behavior, this kind of hate is contagious. And we can be there and take part in that sometimes without ever recognizing it. These are heavy things this morning. God hates all that. Why? Well, we know God hates sin because of the things sin does to us. God hates sin because of the things sin does to other people. Every sin listed in Proverbs chapter 6 is an action taken against other people. Haughty eyes that look down on others, lying tongues that lie to others, hands that shed innocent blood, they're killing people. Feet that are rushing to do evil, they can't wait to hurt others. Hearts that devise wicked schemes to plot to hurt others. False witnesses who say hurtful things to others and stirring up drama among others. Each and every sin listed there tells of wicked people who hurt others. Others who are made in the image of God. We want to have the wisdom to avoid the things God hates. Imagine someone in your family or somebody that you love dearly. And then imagine someone else doing something painful or mean to that special someone. Make you angry, wouldn't it? Make you have a lot of anger in your heart and bitterness. And you would take it personally. All mankind is made in the image of God. And God loves all mankind. Amen? So when others are being hurt, it pains God. He takes that personally. And He hates these things because He loves us. That's how a God of hate and a God of love can coexist. He hates these things because He loves us. And we want to avoid the things God hates. And the Bible tells us very clearly in Romans 3:23 that all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We have all done hateful things to God. But Ephesians 2:3 says, all of us once lived among them in passions of our flesh, following the desires of our flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. God is speaking to all of us and He's saying, we've all sinned. We've all done these hurtful things. Galatians 5:19-21 spells it out a little clearer. Paul says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is warning them, if you live like this, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, who's Paul writing this to? He's writing it to the church at Galatia, right? He's writing it to the church at Hurricane as well. He's warning us. He's telling us God hates sin. And if you continue in those sins, there's a danger. And the danger is, you miss heaven. The Bible tells us God loves us. He doesn't want us to be under His wrath. He doesn't want us to be under His judgment. He doesn't want us to be lost without Him. But if we do these evil things, there's a price to be paid. But church, there's a big but here. It doesn't have to be like that. He will save you for eternity if you let Him. You ask yourself, how could God undo all of my bad decisions? Has anybody ever made bad decisions? I've made plenty of them. We make bad decisions. And you might ask yourself, how could God undo all the damage of my bad decisions? Well, I want to continue reading in Ephesians verse 2, 3 through 5. Again, we read 3 already. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, I want you to take note of that. If you got your Bibles out, underline that. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Amen. Amen. You were dead in your transgression, he writes. You were by nature objects of wrath. We had nothing in and of ourselves to offer to God. But because of his great love and because of his mercy, he made us alive in Christ Jesus. Not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus. And it is by grace, nothing else, church, that we are saved. Amen. Amen. So this morning, do we have the wisdom to avoid the things that God hates? You know, it's easy in this world to get trapped up in these things. It's real easy for me to have my say in a situation where I should just avoid it, or maybe be a positive word instead of a negative word. It's a struggle every day. Let's be in prayer about that. Pray for God to give you the words this week, to use your tongue the way he wants you to use your tongue to build up people, to use your actions to show Jesus. Let's be in prayer for each other, that we have that impact this week as we go out to work and school and wherever life takes us. The wisdom to avoid the things God hates. This love of God was not just some meaningless gesture, church. It was not just a statement of empty affection. Because when God saved us, it cost him his very best. It cost him his son. By his pain and his suffering, we have forgiveness. John Stott wrote the following: I have entered many Buddhist temples in different Asian countries and stood respectfully before the statue of Buddha. His legs crossed, arms folded, eyes closed, the ghost of a smile playing around his mouth, a remote look on his face detached from the agonies of this world. But each time, after a little while, I had to look away. And in my imagination, I turned instead to the lonely, twisted, tortured figure on the cross. Nails through his hands and feet, back lacerated, limbs wrenched, brow bleeding from thorn pricks, mouth dry and intolerably thirsty, plunged into God-forsaken darkness. That is the God for me. He laid aside his immunity for pain. He entered our world of flesh and blood and tears and death. He suffered for us. It's that God that I serve. Church, it's that God that we serve. The God who loved us in spite of who we are. The God who loved me in spite of the things I've done. The God who loved us when we deserve nothing but death. That's the God who reached down into this world to raise us up to be with him, where we one day can be with God. Have you let him save you? Do you have a home in heaven? You know, everyone here can leave this hill today absolutely certain you have a home in heaven. Let God rescue you. Have the wisdom to avoid the things that he hates. Have the wisdom to start that by giving him your life, by coming to Jesus, by putting him on in baptism. If you've not taken that step, we'd love to help you with that this morning. If you are a Christian, but you've fallen away and you want the prayers of the church, or if you're struggling with something, you want the prayers of the church, that's what we're here for, church. We're here to serve each other. We're here to uplift each other. We're here to encourage each other to keep going, even when this life drags us down, even when this world is tough. If you have some good news you want to share, we could all use some good news. Is there anybody in here who couldn't use good news, right? It's a good thing. We're here for you. If there's any way we can help you, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.